This is week number one, class number two of TH202, Biblical Prosperity. So let's pick up in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9, verse 1. He says, "For us touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous." Now that's a big word. "For me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting." Now, let me just throw something out to you at this point. I know this is all quite wordy. If you'll go back and read the entire flow of chapters 8 and 9, nonstop, over and over again, and pray about it, this whole thing is going to just jump out to you. You're going to see exactly what's going on. So anyway, he picks up here in verse 5 and he says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they should go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." In other words, he's saying, look, you guys, you need to be prepared when it comes time to give. All right. Now, this brings up an important point, and I'm just going to touch on it briefly tonight. We'll get into it in more detail later on. But how many of you have ever been taught the concept of saving to give? Some of you, maybe you have. But it's something that's not taught very often in the body of Christ. Saving to give. In other words, setting money back in order to have money to give when the time comes to give. Now, I'll give you an example of this. One example. There was a man who was having some real financial problems. And the Lord said, well, no, let me rephrase that. They weren't super problems. It was just, you know, things could have been better, I guess is a good way to put it. And the Lord told him to start setting some money back. So he did. He began to set some money back. God told him how much to set back. So he's setting this money back. Now, right there is an interesting contrast to a lot of what is taught. Because there aren't too many out there preaching and teaching, put money in the bank and save it for a time later when God's going to tell you to give it. Most are telling you, give it now. Okay? Well, anyway, God spoke to this man and said, I want you to start saving. Now, God didn't tell him, stop giving. He just said, I want you to set this much money about, you know, this frequency of setting this much money back. And so he did. Time went on. And he would seek God and ask him about it. Well, you know, what do I do with this? And God said, just keep saving. Just keep putting it back. Well, some things came up in his life that they really could have used the money. Like some things broke down. Say the refrigerator broke down. And they really could have used some of that money. And God says, no, don't touch it. I'll work this thing out with you as far as the refrigerator or whatever, you know, the thing was. He said, but you leave that money there. So he said, okay. So he left that money there. And he kept putting the money in that God told him to put in. He kept doing this. Well, it got up to be several thousand dollars. Several thousand dollars. And one day, God said, I want you to get with so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Okay. So Mr. Saver and his wife went over to brother so-and-so's house and met with his wife. And in the course of the conversation, brother Saver asked the other fellow, how much would it take to get you out of debt? Because this other guy was really facing some stuff. And he said, well, I really don't know for sure. And he said, well, find out. So he sat down and he figured it up and he said, well, it would take, you know, X thousands of dollars for us to, you know, get out of this mess. The guy said, okay. He said, honey, write a check out of that account where God's been telling us to save that money. And so he wrote a check out of that account and he gave it. He said, there you go. He said, you're out. So he went home. Mr. Saver went home. And he said, God, you know, you told me to save this money all this time and I did. And then tonight you told me to write this amount out of it to help this man to get out of that financial hole. But I've still got X thousands of dollars left over here in this account. Now, what do you want me to do with this? And God said, use it to get yourself out of debt. Oh, but God would never tell you to do that. I'm sure the man missed God. Wouldn't it have been better for God to send it to your ministry, Brother Martin? Not if God told him to use it to get himself out of debt. He'd have been missing God by giving it to me or any other preacher on the face of this earth. Okay, now watch the extreme to this. Everybody runs home. I got a revelation, honey, from God. We're supposed to save money. Well, maybe you are. Okay, everybody should be saving money. You know what I'm saying? But in relation to this story, maybe that's what God wants you to do, and maybe it's not. Again, this all goes back to finding out what God wants you to do. But nevertheless, the whole concept of setting money aside, and see, this is part of what Paul is teaching here, or what he's sharing with the Corinthians. He says, you guys need to set some money back so that you can be ready to give when the time comes to give. Now, let's pick up here in verse 6. And he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, at this point, some of you may have caught on what Paul's talking about. Especially if you take the time beyond this class to read chapters 8 and 9 in their entirety, nonstop, and go over it and over it and over it again. You're going to catch on to what Paul's talking about. Remember chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, where he's talking, somebody plants, somebody waters, God gives the increase. But what is the increase that Paul's talking about that God gives? It's an increase of souls. It's an increase of people won into the kingdom of God. And when Paul is talking here, he that sows sparingly reaps sparingly. He that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Well, up until this point, Paul is talking about two essential things. Spreading the gospel and helping the body of Christ that's in need. He's not talking here about your personal increase when it comes to your bank account. What he's talking about is the increase that comes when you use money to spread the gospel and minister to people to lead them to Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, if you're stingy about this, now remember, he's already talked about not being a burden to somebody and people not being in hardship over giving. He's not talking about, he's already said, you don't give what you don't have to give. He's already explained concepts in here that there's no pressure when it comes to giving. He's talking about you getting alone with God and determining in your heart what it is that you're supposed to give. And in essence, we could paraphrase it like this. If you've got it to give and you don't because money has become your God and you give into the work of the gospel sparingly, you've got to understand you're going to reap sparingly. Well, what is it that I'm going to reap sparingly? It's going to be the treasures that I lay up in heaven, which are the souls of people that have been won to Jesus Christ. God is trying to get a message across to us that when doing the work of the kingdom becomes the priority, and that is the focus of your giving, not your own personal increase, then you're going to begin reaping a harvest of souls so that when you stand before God on judgment day, He's going to be able to look at you and say, I want you to look at all of the bountiful reaping that you have as a result of your bountiful giving. You gave out of what you could give. You gave out of obedience unto me. And now look at all the people that have been won into the kingdom for all of eternity because of your obedience. This is what Paul is talking about. It's not your personal increase as far as money is concerned. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay, Paul, I understand what you're saying, but where does my increase fit in? He says, I'm getting ready to tell you if you hadn't interrupted me. Verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work. He's saying it's not your money that causes you to abound. It's your money that spreads the gospel. But it's the power of my grace that helps you to abound financially so that you are fully equipped to do everything that I set before you. His grace, not our giving. Verse 9. He goes on to say, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he's given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now again, this has been used as a money verse, but what is it that I'm supposed to be increasing? It's not money, it's the fruits of my righteousness. Or in other words, you're going to be spreading the message of the gospel here, and the harvest that you reap, or the increase that takes place, it's going to be as a result of what you've given to win people to Jesus. Your giving is not going to cause you to increase. It's tapping into God's grace which causes you to increase, and the more your focus becomes the work of the kingdom, the more of His grace you're going to be able to tap into, and the more He's going to be able to release unto you, because now you're not so concerned about what I have and what I don't have. You're concerned about the hearts of people that don't know Jesus. And he goes on in verse 11, he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving unto God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Now, if you take a look at this, the word soweth, essentially, it means to sow or to scatter seed, kind of like what the word planteth means. But it was a word that was used, the Greek word, it was the word that was used in Greek teachings to represent the work of a teacher. Now, he that soweth sparingly reaps sparingly. He that sows bountifully reaps bountifully. Keeping in mind the work of a teacher, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and think of it this way. I'll show you. Chapter 8. Look back in chapter 8. Here's the example. He talks about in verses 1 through 5 the way that the Macedonians had given. Then in verse 4, he says, praying with us, the Macedonians did this, the Philippians, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, he's saying they realized they were the ones physically who weren't going forth to do this, that I was the one doing it. But they figured out that if they gave to me through their giving, they were actually becoming a part of what I was doing for the sake of the kingdom. In other words, they realized, I'm sure you have heard many ministers talk about partners. Be a covenant partner. Give into the minister, be a covenant partner. This is what Paul's talking about here. He said the Philippians figured out that through their giving to me, even though they couldn't come with me, they had to stay back home there in Macedonia, back there in Philippi. They couldn't come with me, but they figured out that by giving to me, they were actually, in essence, metaphorically speaking, they were going with me to do this work. Now, when Paul is talking about this sowing, turn over to Mark chapter 4. Remember, it's talking about the work, or it's used metaphorically to represent the work of a teacher. In Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Now, let me ask you something. If Jesus has made this kind of a statement without reading anything else, if Jesus has made this kind of a statement, the sower soweth the word, do you honestly believe that Paul is going to turn around and teach the sower soweth the money? Because if he did, he would be teaching opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus said the sower soweth the word. This word soweth, it's the same word, the Greek word, the work of a teacher. And he talks about how that some are sown here and some are sown there. Satan comes to mess things up that are sown and so on. And that is exactly what goes on in the body of Christ when it comes to the prosperity message. Because there are some places I could stand up and I could preach what I'm preaching right now, teach to them what I've been teaching to you in this course, and it really is going to be cold water on the fires of their enthusiasm, because they are still believing, I give, I give, I give, I'm going to get, I'm going to get, I'm going to get. But it's been 25 years and you still have not been getting. When is it going to happen? I don't know, Brother Martin, but if you take away the very thing that I've been hoping for and putting my faith in, I'll have nothing to believe. Well, have you thought about maybe believing the Word? Can you see that? And how that for some people, I would be ripping away from them their security blanket. Because their giving has become the very thing that they believe is going to cause increase. I've got to sow more. I've got to sow to this ministry. And I'm sowing into this ministry. Now please, let me interject this. The concept of sowing is not wrong. Meaning, if I give to Brother Jones' ministry, I can say that I have sown into his ministry. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? I can say that I've sown or I've given into his ministry. But the concept of I've sown into his ministry to reap a hundredfold return on what I have sown into, that's where you get off base on this. Okay? Jesus says, the sower soweth the word. And he talks about here how the way that different things can happen to cause the word to be rendered ineffective as such in their lives. Do you understand that a teaching like what we've been hearing here in this course can be rendered ineffective by the traditions of the prosperity message that are so prevalent in the body of Christ? Paul said two places, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, and 9, 8. He says, for you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. He's telling you in two places right now, it is grace, it is grace, it is grace. It is not how much you give, give, give. It is grace, it is grace. But if I keep teaching you to focus on your giving and I don't teach you how to tap into the grace, you're going to focus on what you give as opposed to the power of God's grace to operate in your life. So the key then is to figure out how to tap into the grace. And we will do that by the time this course is over. But for right now, Jesus has said, the sower sows the word. He emphasized sowing the word into the hearts of people for the purpose of bringing forth what the word can produce. If you look in here, verse 20, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, and some hundredfold. He's not talking money here. Please, he is not talking money. We'll get into the 30, 60, we'll get into these hundredfold return things later on. But he's not talking money. He is talking about bringing forth the fruit of what the Word of God can produce in your life. And he said there are some people, the Word is going to be sown into them. And for different reasons, some of them are only going to be able to see a 30-fold, let's just say it this way, a 30-fold return on the Word that is sown into their life. Maybe traditions are holding them back from the other 70-fold if you're using 100-fold as the max. Some are going to tap into it to the point of 60-fold, but then there are going to be some. They're going to have a breakthrough in their lives to understand how to live according to the power of my word and the power of my grace that my word can produce. And they're the ones who are going to have the hundredfold lifestyle. Not money. Money is only a smidgen of this. Hey, listen. When it comes to ministering to people, money is great. But you know what? There are a lot of people that really don't care about your money. They just want their bodies healed. I wouldn't mind walking in a hundredfold healing anointing, would you? I wouldn't mind walking in a hundredfold knowledge, hundredfold wisdom. You see the concept I'm saying here? Jesus is talking about the Word and what the Word can produce in your life. And Paul is not going to turn right around and contradict what Jesus has taught and emphasize money over the Word. He's talking about giving for the purpose of spreading the gospel. And if you become, the word sparingly, that word translated from the Greek, it could have said stingily. In other words, you can't be stingy if you don't have anything to be stingy with. You see what I'm saying? You know, you can't give $100 if you don't have the capacity to give $100. Paul is saying, look, if you've got it to give and you don't, you're not going to reap the harvest God wants to reap. What does God want to reap? It's people's lives. This is what God is after. People to be born again, led into the kingdom of God. But as long as we keep giving in these offerings, honestly, can you imagine what God... He sits up in heaven and he watches these services. And the guy stands up and he preaches this. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. And the preacher, the man who's supposed to be standing up preaching and teaching to us the Word of God, that preacher is getting our eyes off the Word, getting our eyes off Jesus, and getting our eyes totally and completely upon our bank accounts, upon the cars that we drive, upon the houses that we live in, upon the jewelry that we wear, upon the stuff. And he keeps telling us to give and to give. Do you understand? When you preach that kind of a doctrine, the entire focus is inside the four walls of the church. It has nothing to do with what's going on outside of the church. And all we do is think about ourselves. We're not even thinking about people that are lost. All we're thinking about is, how much can I get? And God is saying, why are you worried about how much you can get? Don't you understand? My grace is sufficient for you in the area of your prosperity. Because my grace will work for you the same way it worked for the Macedonians. The same message that Paul was trying to get across in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. My grace is able to do all of this. I'm able to make all grace. I am God. I created an entire universe, and I can make the grace you need abound unto you so that you have all sufficiency in everything I've called you to do. His grace. But the preachers tell us about us and tell us to give. So, to get more for us. And what do you think God's impression on that is? How do you think He feels about that? Do you think maybe, as long as we're focused on ourselves and trying to get more for me, that God's not going to bless us? Do you think if our motivation for giving is my pocketbook, God is saying, excuse me, my son died for you and all you want is money. You don't want other people to know about my son. Why should I bless you? You're just going to consume it upon your own lusts. All you want to do is what the preacher told you to do. Live like a child of the king and get yourself a better house and bigger cars and more TVs and more jewelry and then tell everybody, I told you to do it. Try to think of this stuff, folks, from God's perspective. Does it mean we can never have nice things? No, it doesn't mean that. What is the priority in your life? What means more to you? Later on in this, we may look at the concept of working for the purpose of being able to give. In other words, looking for ways to increase financially. You know, God talks about His wisdom and so forth. Ways to increase financially for the purpose of giving more. Now let me tell you what, when you start tapping into that, floodgates are going to be flown open. Well, anyway, that's enough for tonight. But look in John chapter 4. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 38. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Now stop right there. Jesus said, my meat. All right, we could rephrase that. My desire, my hunger, the very thing that I want to do, my purpose in life, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Now, if that's true for Jesus, do you think God sat in heaven and said, gee whiz, son, I'm really proud of you, all the stuff you're doing down there for me. But you know what? Your ministry is going to suffer unless you sow. Because I can't bless you, boy. You think if Jesus' heart was lined up with the heart of the Father to accomplish everything the Father wanted done, do you really think the Father would have let Him struggle? Jesus said, I'm not focused on me. I'm focused on what He wants. Say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. Now, what's He talking about harvesting here? Well, He's talking about people. We know that. Now, look in verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that reapeth. What do you think Jesus is talking about reaping in here? Souls of people? He's talking about... Remember, it talks about the Lord. He's the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He's sending laborers into the field. We go out there and we reap the souls that we're helping to win. Now, remember when Paul talked about one person plants, another person waters? God is one that gives the increase, but we're the ones that reap it in. You see what I'm saying? Now, look what he says in this. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. What do you think Jesus' concept of sowing and reaping has to do with? People. Not money. People. And it goes on to say, and herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. In other words, Jesus, when he's teaching sowing and reaping, it has everything to do with reaching people for the kingdom, reaching people with the gospel. And he makes this statement, some people reap where another person sowed. This is what Paul's talking about. One person plants and another person waters. In other words, okay, we'll use this kind of an example. I spend money like crazy to print Bibles and get them shipped over to China. Somebody else goes over there and preaches one message, and 80,000 souls are won to Jesus. I've been sowing that word over there now for 15 years, and I don't have a clue what just happened 3 nights ago. But a guy went in and preached and won 80,000. But you know what? When we get to heaven, God's going to say, I'm so glad you are here. I want to show you something. All you people over there, stand up. And I look over and say, my goodness, there must be 80,000 people over there. What's the deal, God? He says, you know all the money you paid to have those Bibles printed and shipped over to China? Yeah, I said, those people got a hold of those Bibles and they got to reading. And you see that fellow standing right over there? I said, him, that guy. He went over there and preached. But you know what? The Bibles you sent over plowed their hearts. So when he came in and preached, it just took one message and they all responded and were born again. If you had not spent 15 years of sowing, he could not have reaped in one day what he reaped. This is what Jesus is talking about. And this is what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, and in verse 6. He's talking about a bountiful sowing of the souls of people. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. And I do encourage you to go back and read 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. One big continual flow. Now, you say, but Brother Martin, what if I heard the sowing and reaping message and I responded to it? But I really didn't respond to it from the perspective of, I just wanted to get more. What if I just gave? I really wasn't concerned about myself. Doesn't that count for anything? Yeah, it counts. See, you cannot give money toward winning people for Jesus and it not count for something. But when your perspective is, hey, okay, yeah, right, there are lost people in the world. Thousands of them die every day and go to hell, all right? But I got to get me more money. That's why I'm giving into this evangelist tonight, this ministry. That's why I'm writing this check and mailing it into that person on television. I want more. I want more for me. Now, isn't it true? Every one of us, we like to profess good intentions, do we not? Oh, yes. And when my harvest comes in, praise God, I'm going to give. Well, now, wait a minute. You're giving now. So, in other words, your giving now is for a different purpose than your giving in the future. In the future, you'll give to spread the gospel. But for right now, all you want to do is get more. What if you made a decision to give what you could give right now to spread the gospel and leave the more up to God? Well, Brother Martin, I would, but the thing is, nobody's ever taught me 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, about God's grace. Maybe they haven't. But is it in your Bible? Well, yeah, it's in there. What do you think? But Brother Martin, I'm continually bombarded by the people that tell me, sow for me, give for me, sow for me, give for me. And would you like to know what they're doing? rendering the Word of God of none effect by their traditions. And so what the Word could produce in your life, in that area now, of abundance, all right, financial, prosperity, blessing, in that area, the Word of God is being rendered of none effect because you're trying to use it for personal gain and nothing more. Now, in Galatians chapter 6, take a look at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Have you ever been there when they use this one to get your money? Be not deceived. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So if I want money, I give money. That's what you're telling me. You got it. And if you want peace, sow peace. If you want joy, sow joy. If you want a smile, sow a smile. Well, they use this for money. The problem is you can't use it for money because it's not talking about money. Back up to chapter 5. You really should go back to chapter 1, but we won't. Let's pick up here in chapter 5 and take a look in verse 16. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now, okay. No, here's the problem in that. In theory, this is the kind of message that would cause people to stop giving. Yes. But you see, a person that's truly living according to who they become in Christ, they're not going to stop giving. You can profess what you want, but the bottom line is, it will, what you believe, your, now, listen closely, your giving will be a demonstration of your relationship with Jesus. I did not say the dollar amounts. I said, you're giving. That puts no condemnation on anybody. Because Paul has already said, you don't give out of what you don't have. And he said, it's not so that some people would be burdened and other people eased. In other words, there's not a set amount, put it like that. Everybody has to give $100. If you love Jesus as much as you do, you're not going to be so caught up in how much can I get as a result of my giving. You're going to be caught up in what can I do? What is it that I... How do I tap into this to have more to spread the gospel? Because I know in the process my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory. And I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, that I through His poverty might be rich. I know these things. So I'm not worried about me. I want to know how I can get more to give more. I'm going to give. And see, you can say, well, I'll give more when I get more. What are you doing now? When it comes to your giving, what are you doing now? What's the focus? When it comes to your whole financial standing in life, what is the most important thing to you? Is it where you live? Is it what you have? Is it what you drive? Is it what you wear? And again, at the sake of sounding too repetitious, God never said you can't have nice things. But again, it's the priority. It's what means most to you. In Galatians, he makes this statement here. Walk in the Spirit. Now, you know by now that he's not talking about walking in the Holy Ghost. He's talking about living according to who you become in Jesus Christ. And if you look in verses 19 through 21, he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, he's saying if you live according to your flesh, or if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, this is the kind of fruit that you're going to produce. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit, or that which is produced out of your born-again nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So if you're walking by the Spirit or living according to your born-again spirit, this is the kind of fruit that you're going to see produced in your life. Now stop right there. If this kind of fruit is being produced in your life, verses 22 and 23, and it's coming forth out of your born-again nature, that means it's going to be impossible for you to be so worried about money that you feel like you have to sow in order to reap. Therefore, if you are worried about your financial situation, and you believe the only way that you can get out of it is to sow and sow and sow, because after all, they said I'd reap a big harvest, you're not living according to your born-again spirit, because your born-again spirit is incapable of producing that kind of worry. It's a lack of peace. You say, yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. There is a financial situation in my life. I didn't say we ignore the circumstances. When you are living according to your new nature is incapable of producing worry related to your financial situation. You'll have peace in the midst of whatever it is. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, or if we're born again, then listen, we need to live that way. Live according to our new nature. Don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. In other words, he's saying in this, once you're born again, the power of your flesh to dominate you has been put to death. You may not feel like it, but from God's perspective, he says, listen, the power of your new nature is such to where the lust of the flesh do not have more power than who you become in Jesus Christ. Now, believe it or not, this contrasts with so much of the prosperity message, because if I continually am told I can't get unless I give, I'm actually playing up to the lust of the flesh. And I'm teaching you to focus on what can money do. God's saying, no, that's not my word. Well, let's continue on. Chapter 6, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, when he's talking about being taken in a fault, he's talking about, in essence, if you have somebody that's living according to the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh, he said, you've got a responsibility to restore that person. In other words, that person needs to be confronted over the fact that fruit of the flesh is coming forth. Now, he didn't say they're going to receive it. Look, when people are living according to the lust of the flesh, as he puts it, and that kind of fruit is being produced in their life, there's a really good chance they do not want to hear any kind of correction whatsoever, because they can't see that flesh fruit is being born in their lives. So God says, well, at least try. All right? Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So Paul is talking here, you've got a responsibility. You can't live on somebody else's faith. You can't live on the measure of grace that another person is living in. He says, you have to live. It's the calling, it's the life, it's you, okay? It's you, you're the one, you have to prove this yourself. You can't have somebody else prove it through you. And he says in verse 6, that phrase communicate, he's actually talking about giving from the perspective of supporting the people that sow the Word of God into your life. Now, let me just interject this. And I'll say this as a disclaimer. I have never yet looked at the envelopes that have come in to this school, ever. I don't have a clue who does and does not give. I don't ask. I don't look at the records. I've never done that. But I will say this, and I don't say this just because I'm here. If this school is sowing the Word of God into your life, then you do have a responsibility to give. And you know by now that this isn't about money. You know by now that this isn't some kind of a thing to where we're just trying to, you know, get rich off of people. You know it's not like that. I'm just saying it's a principle that is exemplified here in the Word of God. Well, continue on. Verse 7. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, you know, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now he says, don't be deceived. Don't think that you can sow to your flesh. In other words, don't think that you can feed the lust of the flesh and still reap a spiritual harvest in your own life or produce spiritual fruit. Just, God's not mocked. You know, you can't live like this. He says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. In other words, you sow to the flesh, you're going to end up fulfilling the lust of the flesh, whether you like it or not. He's not talking about money in this passage at all. Not as far as this sowing and reaping part is concerned. And he said, but if you sow to the Spirit, he's not talking sow to the Holy Ghost. What can you sow to the Holy Ghost that he doesn't already have? Here, Holy Ghost, let me bless you today. The Spirit that he's talking about is you. It is your born-again spirit. How do I sow to my born-again spirit? Well, in a broad scope, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. I sow to my spirit. And he says, if you do this, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's not you're going to be born again. You can't sow to a new nature if you don't have a new nature to sow to. Are you with me? The life everlasting, I'll rephrase it like this. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. It's not just a matter of being born again, but it's a matter of living in accordance to the fullness of what it means to be born again. It's a matter of living in the total victory that Jesus Christ has given to us. So therefore, if I'm sowing to my spirit, I am going to reap out of me everything God has promised to me. I will become spiritually what... See, God's more focused on my spiritual development than my financial development. And he says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He said, if you think you're something that you're not, you're deceiving yourself. If you think you're beyond where you are in your walk with God, you're deceiving yourself. In other words, you're continually sowing to your flesh and you're going to reap the lust of the flesh. You may never kill anybody. You may never rape anybody. But you're going to be eaten up with pride. You're going to be eaten up with self-glorification and all of these other things that come along with it. That's part of the lust of the flesh. And God says, listen, you keep sowing to yourself out of this, sowing to your flesh, that is all you're going to reap. But if you get honest with yourself and you start sowing to your spirit, you are guaranteed to begin to reap the things of the Spirit. Remember what Jesus talked about? Sower soweth the Word. And these are they that they sow good ground. They reap 30, 60, or 100 fold. Paul is kind of rephrasing what Jesus said back over there. He said, if you will continue to sow to the Spirit, you are guaranteed to reap that kind of a spiritual harvest or everything that the Word could produce in you, it's going to produce in you. Well, let's go ahead and take 5 minutes, come back at about a quarter till, and we'll finish up for tonight.